Yo, yo, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Lijay Duzabal going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. We'll ask him his thoughts on this developing Stephon Diggs situation. Where the heck is DeAndre Hopkins going to play next year? And we'll get a thought on Dalvin Cook as well from former NFL defensive lineman Lijay Duzabal. And still scheduled to join us at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, covers the Buffalo Bills. Bradley Gelber will be stopping by. And no relationship there. His name is Bradley Gelber. My name is just Zach Gelb. So I'm sure a lot of people will just assume that somehow, since we had the same four letters in my entirety of my last name and some in his last name, that there is some sort of relationship. It's just one of those things where his last name is Gelber. My last name is Gelb, even though some people, you know, heck, some of my friends call me Gelber. I don't really like that. But some of them be like, yo, Gelber. I don't think that really works. Like in hockey, I feel as if that's a hockey kind of thing. And I do have some friends that are big hockey fans. Maybe that's why.
I was just going to say, if you were a forward on the Rangers, makes sense. Gelber's natural. I don't know why, but hockey guys love to add an ER onto literally everybody's name.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make 100% sense.
Yeah, I've got Gelby. I've got Gelber. I just kind of rock and roll
Gelby.
With Gelby. Who does?
Bart.
Bart Winkler?
Yeah, he puts a Y on there. Gelby,
you're right.
Filling in for Gelby.
What's up, Gelby? How you doing, Gelby?
Gelber. I feel like your name's like short anyway. You don't have to add, like, why make it a more of a mouthful?
That's what people do. That's life. So, like, for you, I kind of call you Hickster sometimes. I call you a lot of things. Hot Take Hickey. You've gone by Trace before here. You've had many nicknames, but I'll throw the occasional Hickster in there.
Some people shorten it to just Hick. Rare. But
some people just go, yo, Hick.
Yes. Hick, what are you doing today?
I don't know. That could have a different meaning if you ask me.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're from the South, but.
I'm just saying for you, I wouldn't look at you and go, yo, Hick, what's up?
Well, just a quick little hello, drop the EY. I have no problem with it.
Gotcha. Anyone ever call you RH?
No, thankfully. Okay. I don't like that.
Because I get ZG sometimes.
Although I think I do it to you sometimes and I do it to other people.
You do. You go, what's up, ZG? And so then when you see Connor Green, you go, what's up, CG?
It's got to rhyme. You know, G's do rhyme well. CG rhymes. RH does not. So that doesn't really sound too good. Yeah. So thankfully no one does.
RH would make you sound a little bit more sophisticated, I will say.
I don't know. I guess.
Yo, RH, what's happening?
I guess it's close to RA or R resident RN, resident nurse. So that's...
What?
You don't want to make me sound smart, sure.
Resident nurse.
R is right. RN. That's what they call them, RNs.
I know. That was just so
random. I'm saying, like, that's what I'm like, RH, you're kind of right. It does sound sophisticated. I'm like, why does it sound smart? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's probably because it's close to RN. So if you're actually on that case, yeah, you want to call me RH? Let's go for it.
What have you been watching? Meet the Fockers lately?
I have not seen that in a while, actually. I
remember Gaylord Focker was a nurse
in
that
entire
show. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where your brain was at on that one, but okay. Anyway, last night, the Denver Nuggets hoist the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Nikola Jokic, NBA Finals MVP. He now gets that tag after having two NBA MVPs, now getting the NBA Championship and the Finals MVP. And so difficult to stop. Right now, he's the biggest mismatch for teams in the NBA when you're preparing against him because there's no way to stop him. Some teams will try to contain him, and no one's really had luck that way. So now he's perceived to be the best player in the sport. It got me thinking, can we get a little NBA music? Because we'll do a little draft. I'll take the first pick here. Oh, I like this. Dun, 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 dun. It was very off tune there, right there. That's why I'm not a big singer or anything. But we're going to do a little NBA draft of the top 10 players. I'll take the first pick. And it's an obvious one. We were just talking about him, Nikola Jokic.
I will then go with the man that he dethroned, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who before this year did hold title as best player in the league. I'll take Giannis.
You didn't think Steph was the best player in the league entering this season coming off a championship?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, then that third player will be Steph Curry. So we have Joker off the board, Giannis Antetokounmpo off the board, and then Steph Curry.
A lot of different ways to go here. I will go with the reigning MVP. I will take Joel Embiid.
Interesting. Now, Embiid's definitely in the top 10. I don't think anyone's going to put up a fight about putting him in at number 4, but I was not expecting you, of all people, to go that way. Next up here. Huh. I think people are going to be surprised by this one because his team did not play well this year, and this year was such a disaster. But I still look at this player as a dominant player in the league, and they just got to help him out. I'll go Luka Doncic sitting in there at number five.
Health is a concern for sure, but still when he's healthy, I still think he's one of the best players in the league. I'll go Kevin Durant with my third pick, so that'd be number six overall in terms of top 10 NBA players right now. This is tough. This is tough.
I'm going to go Jason Tatum. I think the next one's an obvious one. I was between two people.
Just scouring the board, making sure there's no obvious names left.
Oh, there's a glaring omission right now.
All right, so this is my fourth pick, top 10 players in the NBA right now. I'll go Damian Lillard.
Wow.
Team stinks.
I'm sorry.
He's still a great player. I'll take Dame right now and what he has done, despite the fact that his team is right now not supporting him.
Did you think about LeBron there?
Yes and no. I think you think more highly of LeBron at this point in his career than I do.
You don't like LeBron, it seems like.
No, it's not that I don't like him. I just think too many people are stuck thinking that LeBron is the LeBron of old instead of looking at LeBron this year and looking at how he plays.
Nah, guy still averaged 29 points.
No, he's good, don't get me wrong. But he's lost a step. I think it's obvious.
And LeBron losing a step is going from what? All-time great to then just playing great.
I mean, I don't think it's disrespectful to say Giannis, Embiid right now, Kevin Durant, and Damian Lillard over LeBron right now in present day.
Giannis, no. Embiid, no. I love Dame. Dame's my favorite player in the league. I would not say Damian Lillard right now is a better player in the NBA than LeBron James. I'll go LeBron in at nine. Now, let me just throw out before you get to your 10th pick. You have a fascinating way to go here. Do you take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was all NBA first team this year? Do you go De'Aaron Fox? Do you take a Jimmy Butler? Anyone else that you think should be in the conversation outside of those three right there? So far off the board, Nikola Jokic 1, Giannis Antetokounmpo 2, Steph Curry 3, Joel the Process Embiid 4, Luka Doncic 5, KD 6, Jason Tatum 7, Dame Lillard 8, LeBron James sitting in there at number 9.
I think a name to be included in the hopper is Devin Booker. Definitely right now in consideration for me as well. He has been tremendous. Scoring machine. This is hard. I will go.
You want me to tell you who I think should go here?
Here's what I'm stuck at.
You take this stuff way too seriously.
Well, I do because I want to give you a fair answer. I want to say Jimmy Butler. Here's my hesitation. I don't want to get caught in the moment of what he did in the postseason because in the regular season and in regular seasons past, he's not exactly, he's kind of been like Kawhi, where he's not gone all out. He has missed some time. You can call it that he doesn't take the regular season seriously. So I just don't make this a postseason award, even though it is important. I will go Jimmy Butler. I'll give him the respect he deserves.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised by that.
I really wanted to go Devin Booker, but I will give Jimmy
Buckets. You wanted to
go
Devin Booker there.
Yes.
I like Devin Booker. But you know who I think should have been that 10th spot?
Shai?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'm just giving Booker and Butler the respect of doing it longer. Shai's been great. Again, first team All-NBA this year. I'll just give the other two respect in the sense that they've done it for longer. And now that, not that people didn't know who Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was before, but now that he's
had that
great
year. Well, it depends who you ask
year,
on this network. Some
true.
Of the people that do the updates may have never heard of him.
That is correct. But for most basketball fans, they know of him. But now it's like, oh, he is truly on the map.
He had the fourth most points in the league this year.
Now the defenses will be, you know, going after him big time. How will he respond to that? So I want to see it one more time before I put him in a top 10 list right now. So I'll defer to the experience of Jimmy Butler.
And no De'Aaron Fox there.
No De'Aaron Fox. Great year, but kind of the same thing. I want to see it more for him.
Well, hasn't De'Aaron Fox now done it for a while?
He's been around for a while.
No, but he's played at this level now for a little bit. Yeah, the whole team took their game to the next level. But the last 3 years, you're looking at a guy that averaged 25.2 points per game, 23.2 points per game, and 25.2 points per game the last three seasons, going from 2020, then going all the way up until 2023.
Yeah, he's been a great player. In terms of top 10, it's cutthroat. It's tough. Like, it's not, you know, not an easy honor to earn.
No, you're not wrong on that. So the way that we do this list, Joker 1, Giannis 2, Steph 3, Joel Embiid 4, Luka Doncic 5, Kevin Durant 6, Jason Tatum 7, Damian Lillard 8, LeBron James 9, Jimmy Butler 10. If you could swap out, let me ask you this. If you could swap out one player, who would the player be? Like I just told you, as much as I like Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler is a star, Jimmy Butler was a straight-up dog in what he's done in this postseason. I know it didn't end the way that he wanted it to in the NBA Finals, where I think he just ran out of gas and ran out of juice. And I think that ankle injury, even though he won't say it, is part of a reason why. Not that they would have beat Denver, but I would kind of put SGA in there, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, over Jimmy Butler. That would just be me. If you could swap out one player, is there any player you would swap out to put you, whoever your next guy was in?
I mean, it probably would be Butler. I think he's 10th and kind of the one that's holding on for me to dear life the most. And I probably, if I had to swap one out, probably replace Butler with Booker. But that's probably the one that I would swap in and out.
Gotcha. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You know, you look at Miami, I think last night just reaffirms what the Miami Heat are. You know, it's weird to be critical. And I was on a local Miami radio show today, 560 WQAM, with Hawk and Crowder. Or Hawk and Crowder. Their producer, Alejandro Solana Hickey, he picks up the phone. He goes, oh, my host is named Hawk, like the bird, but it's really Hawkman. So when you call him Hawk, he gets a little sensitive to that because that's not his nickname when we talk about nicknames. So the producers messed that up for a while. But anyway, I was on a local Miami radio show.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
The guy's name is Mark Hawkman.
Right, yeah, Hawk.
So he goes by Hawk.
Right.
But the producer goes...
Alex.
Alejandro Solana goes,
oh,
Hawk,
boy.
Like the bird. There's a difference in Hawk compared to Hawk.
So he sold you down the river, basically. He screwed you.
Well, no, it wasn't...
It was just like
this has been a running thing on the show where they've done it before with like more prominent guests, like a Miami Dolphins player goes on instead of little old me. Like I was in on the joke at that point because I've heard it before, but they have said, "Oh, you're going to be on with former Miami Dolphin Channing Crowder," and then his producer goes by the name Hawk, like the bird.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. So it's minor, but when it's your name, you realize it. So I was on there today, and I think they were surprised by how it was critical of the Miami Heat. I'm not critical of what the Heat accomplished this year, but if Miami wants to win a championship, Jimmy Butler can be a one on a championship team. He's got to the finals now twice, being a number one on a team that looks like a championship team. But Bam Adebayo, even though he had a really good finals, I kind of think Bam is like a 2.5. Where at moments he looks like he's a 2, but he's probably more of a 3 on a championship team, especially in the day and age that we have this, that we play in basketball. Yes, Bam Adebayo will get you 20-something points, but you need another scorer. Like, Jimmy Butler is not great when it comes to shooting the basketball. So, I kind of look at Miami. Their missing piece is Dame Lillard. Like, if they got Dame Lillard, Hickey, for next season, wouldn't you pick them to go back to the NBA Finals and maybe end up winning the thing? You know, I know it's tough for someone to knock off Denver, but imagine if that Miami team had Dame Lillard.
They're without a doubt on a short list. You know, them and Bucks, Celtics, like easily 1, 2, 3.
I make them the favorite in the East because they already have that killer instinct. And then if you add Dame, who seems like he fits into that Heat culture, that's the big name. But if you don't get Dame, where do you go there if you're Miami? Because if you're Miami, you're like stuck right now. You could get to the championship, you get to the finals, but you're not going to win it. Because right now they're asking guys like Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, when healthy. You go through those names, you're asking those guys to be your third best player. None of those guys are the third best player in a championship team. If they're your fourth or fifth player or sixth player, sure, all those guys I just mentioned, fine. But you need to round out your three guys. And you know Butler's 1, Bam is 3. You got to go get a number 2. And until Miami does that, I think they'll be stuck here where they could always be a threat. You're never going to want to play them. They're a pain in the ass come the postseason. And they get to the NBA Finals, but they're not going to go win a championship if they don't find a way to significantly enhance that 2-1.5 type of role when you're looking to build a championship team.
Yeah, they desperately need a point guard in terms of like a bona fide established point guard that can get the offense rolling. And like I said, be a legitimate scorer and not just kind of rely on Jimmy Butler to take over the game.
And I do think Dame is better than Jimmy Butler, but since he was already there, he'll get the tag Jimmy Butler be the number one guy.
And Fred VanVleet is a guy who's won a championship, who's now on the free agent market. Like,
that's more of a three. That's not a two to me.
He helps build the depth. Again, he makes them better. It's just, yeah, it's tough just because there's not exactly a lot of names out there that are just free for the picking. Like Kyrie, no. James Harden, no. So it's like two guys that are on the free agent market, steer clear from.
And maybe this is just lazy. Fred VanVleet, doesn't that have Nick Nurse going to Philadelphia kind of written all over it? You got to see what happens with the contracts, and you'd assume they're going to try to look to deal Tobias Harris this offseason. So you could see if you could find a way to make it work. I don't know what's going to happen with James Harden, but it kind of seems, maybe that's lazy because they were just in Toronto together, but it just kind of seems like Fred VanVleet, if I had to pick a team right now, probably going to Philadelphia.
I mean, if they re-sign Harden, I don't see that happening, and so that's part of it too. Like,
do you expect Harden to be back? I kind of expect Harden to be in Houston at this point.
I would agree. Philly's talking like they want him back, so at least publicly they're putting it out there or trying to make a play to get James Harden to re-sign.
Yeah, because Morey doesn't ever learn.
So, you know, it's not like it's one of those things where they're like, all right, see you later, James, kick him out the door and let's go get someone else in. And so, and also too, we don't know if Fred, like, play with him, won a championship with him. Does he like Nick Nurse?
I think he does. I don't think that's why he wouldn't go to Philadelphia. Lige Duzebol will join us next. It is Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Lige Duzebol played 10 years in the NFL. Now does a great job for CBS Sports HQ, and he's always kind enough to join us right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Lige, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I'm good, Zach. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'll tell you this. What happened today with Stephon Diggs, I'm so confused. How the heck do you interpret what happened today?
Yeah, it's interesting. You heard Josh Allen speak. Von Miller came out and spoke, and it said it had essentially nothing to do with the team. And I find it interesting because the last time we saw Stephon Diggs on the field, it was a divisional game versus the Cincinnati Bengals. He was clearly upset. He was yelling at Josh Allen on the sideline. So, you know, people are saying, you know, most people when they miss or hold out from mandatory minicamp, it's contract-based. But we know it's not that because he just signed a four-year $96 million deal where he's making $24 million a year, right? And the Buffalo Bills essentially can't even begin to get out of that deal until about 2025. So it's just a weird scenario. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this where a guy actually shows up medically on Monday and does all the medical things you need to do as far as, you know, the physicals taken before minicamp and actually shows up Tuesday morning to the meetings and then leaves before practice. And then you get condescending answers from his head coach who says he's just a little bit concerned or he's very concerned that Stephon Diggs didn't show up. But then his agent said he was there, right? And now the agent is also, Adisa Bukhari, has come out and said, you know, it's a little weird for him that he heard that the head coach was concerned as if that Stephon Diggs had a meeting with, you know, his head coach before potentially maybe even, you know, leaving the team facility. So it's a lot to dive in, Zach. But to me, if you're the Buffalo Bills, it's the last thing you need, right? Distractions this early in the off season, right before you get ready to leave and break to come back for training camp, it's the last thing you need because this is a team that essentially this is probably their last year having a legit shot at making a Super Bowl run. They've added Leonard Floyd to pair with Von Miller, and from everything I've heard from Buffalo, he looks really good as far as Von Miller coming back from the ACL. So, you know, he's not getting any younger. He's going to be 34 this year. I believe Leonard Floyd is already 30 or 31. So as far as them making a true run, especially since they've already lost Leslie Frazier this offseason, the defensive coordinator, and Tremaine Edmonds, who is going to be really hard to replace, you think this is probably essentially the last opportunity they're going to have to make a run because Josh Allen's making so much money and Stephon Diggs is making so much money as well. So it's hard to add pieces when you got two guys taking that much of the cap space.
That's interesting because I think everyone can look at Josh Allen and see what he brings to a football team. And you look at his age, he's only 27 years old. You would think there'd be a little bit longer of a window. So I'm kind of surprised by that answer.
Well, I mean, let me break this down for you, Zach. If we look at Josh Allen, right, he kind of regressed last year in regards to turning the football over specifically, right? And we know that Brian Daboll had kind of coached that out of him. So my thing is, are we going to get the Josh Allen that we saw last year turn over the ball? Because for most of the years, Zach, he led the NFL in turnovers with the combination of turning the football over via fumbles and throwing interceptions, right? And we know that Brian Daboll is not coming back. He's in New York with the Giants. So will he be able to work himself out of those boneheaded plays where he turns the football over? Only time will tell, because the first year without Brian Daboll, he kind of reverted back to playing some of that high school Harry football where he was just doing a little bit too much on certain plays and turning the football over. So I get from your standpoint saying, you know, kind of like what Joe Burrow said earlier this offseason, right? The window's open as long as I'm here. I don't know if that's the case for the Buffalo Bills, because – the two, like I said, the two guys on offense are taking so much room up on the cap. How can you solidify the O-line? How can you solidify other positions on that offense? And then on defense, right, the most important player is Von Miller. We saw what happens when he got hurt last year, right? Nobody on that defensive line sniffed the quarterback after that. So that lets you know the value of him. I think they're going to feel the loss of Tremaine Edmonds. We'll see if Dorian Williams can fill some of that void. I really like that pick out of Tulane. Really good cover linebacker that plays physical down the middle at that middle linebacker spot. But he's coming in as a rookie. So what do you expect him to do? Step right in for Tremaine Edmonds and play up to that caliber? I just don't see it.
Lijay Duzabal here with us. Going back to Diggs, like we were talking about, it's such a head-scratcher. And If I had to assume anything, the only thing I could assume right now, logically, is that he's just not happy in Buffalo. And if that's the case, this is just a giant mess in what I agree is a make-or-break season for them, because you need everyone all in to turn this thing around and get over that hump and get to the pinnacle of the sport.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen kind of spoke to that when he talked to the media. He was saying, you know, he could do a better job in regards. And I don't know what specifically you can do if somebody's upset with the situation at quarterback. I mean, the only thing he could do is, you know, maybe not turn the ball over and get him the ball more, but what receiver doesn't want the ball more, right? Seeing Stephon Diggs gets most of the, you know, the target share in Buffalo already. So, you know, he was clearly upset after the divisional game. And if you're Stephon Diggs, right, and again, whether players want to admit it or not, Zach, they pay attention to the media, right? Stephon Diggs kind of ushered his way out of Minnesota, right? Now there's this issue with Buffalo. You don't want to be painted as a guy that every time you go somewhere, there's an issue, and then, you know, you potentially want to, you know, get out of Dodge when you have an issue with a team. Now, I'm not saying that that's what is happening right now with Buffalo, but we saw it happen in Minnesota. And again, he maybe feels that, Zach, by my contract, they can't trade me or get rid of me until 2025. So I'm clearly upset, and I want to know what we're going to do moving forward. So I'm not in that position again where I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs celebrate at the AFC Championship game. I'm looking at the Cincinnati Bengals coming to our house and beat us down. But my thing is that the necessarily the right way to handle this? You want to always keep things internally. So my thing is, if you were disgusted and you had meetings with the front office and your head coach, it's one thing to just show up for your teammates and not practice, right? But it's another thing entirely to leave after you went to meetings, leave and go home or go wherever you are and not show up on the practice field.
Seems like he's got to grow up and be a professional, Lijay Duzabal.
I mean, again, we don't know the ins and outs, so I'm always careful to say that somebody needs to grow up. I played. It's an emotional game. So I understand. There's been times when I've been pissed off, and there's certain situations where I could have handled things better. I just would if I'm Stephon Diggs, I think you just got to be cognizant and careful how you handle your displeasures when you're supposed to be a leader on that team. I believe he's a captain on that team, right? And leaving the practice facility after, you know, you've come to meetings, unbeknownst, it seems like, to the head coach. And that's why I think Moore is going to come out, Zach, because his agent, he was kind of surprised, he said, by Sean McVay's words of using the words very concerned, as if Sean McVay didn't know he was going to leave. Sean McDermott didn't know he was going to leave the practice facility and potentially go wherever he went. But I had heard that there was meetings between Stephon Diggs and the front office and the head coach. So I think the Buffalo Bills just need to get on the same page with Stephon Diggs. Again, they both need each other. That contract, you can't trade out of it, Zach. So he's going to be on the team for at least the next 2 years, bare minimum, and really maybe the next 3 years until the 2025 season. So it's just a weird situation at all. Again, if you got some displeasures, I think there's a better way to handle it, right? Because now the thing that sucks, Zach, is his teammates have to answer questions about this. And that's the last thing we want to do as teammates, answer questions about something that's personally going on with you, right? That's the last thing I want to do is speak on somebody else and what they're dealing with the team. I'd rather just talk about us, you know, coming together, our camaraderie, and then what we're doing to get ready for the season.
I know there's certain rules about contact and all that, and I would be frustrated, too, with the way that season ended, because Cincinnati came into their house and absolutely opened up a can of whoop-ass, but it's kind of weird that it took this long where he's still mad about it. Like, this probably should have been fixed by now, you would think.
I would say yes and no, right? And I think Stephon Diggs has been very vocal in saying, I'm not going to be all right with losing, right? And you got to think about it, Zach. It's not just last year, right? It goes back to when they lost to the Chiefs 2 years in a row in the playoffs, one in the AFC Championship game, one in the divisional round when they were up with 13 seconds left. So I think this is a thing where it's like third time's a charm, right? Because it's 3 years in a row, and now the Bills feel like they've had a team that could potentially make a run at the Super Bowl, but they just haven't been able to get over the hump. Now, again, I will say this again. Sometimes you got to handle things differently. Like, and I'm not going to tell anybody how they should feel, but I don't think that's the right way to do it. If you're having displeasures about things the team has done, showing up to the medical part of it and then talking to the head coach and GM and then showing up Tuesday to the meetings and then not showing up for practice and just deciding to leave when nobody essentially knew you were leaving. Now, again, maybe some truths will come out and maybe they did know he wasn't going to be there, or maybe he did tell somebody he wasn't going to be there. I guess only time will tell. But I think there's a better way you can handle that situation, because we always talk about keeping everything eternally in the locker room, right? Right now, the Bills business is out for everybody, and now people are coming up with their own answers to what's going on in Buffalo because nobody knows truly what's going on.
Lijay Duzabal, where do you think DeAndre Hopkins lands? I know he already made the visit in Tennessee. He's supposed to go to New England coming up on Thursday, late in this process. So money's going to play a role in this, how much cap space is available. Where's your best guess where he goes?
Hey, and you said it right there, Zach, right? How much cap space is available? And I think people have to understand, people are so cognizant and quick to say that, you know, he's played for this amount of years. I think he wants to win a ring. Yes, players want to win a ring. But Zach, they also want to get paid, and they definitely are looking at what other people in their positions are making, right? If there's a guy that you think that's comparable to what you've done in your career, you want to be making the type of money he's making. And this situation is Odell Beckham Jr., right? Both of these guys have been perennial Pro Bowlers in their past. Odell Beckham is coming off a major knee injury where he didn't even play last year. And the Baltimore Ravens gave him $15 million a year with a chance to make 18. So if you're DeAndre Hopkins, right, you came off of a six-game suspension last year, and you were highly productive, right? So for people that are saying he's not the same guy he was never a speedster, right? He was always the guy that separated at the top of the route and one of the best 50-50 jump catch receivers in the NFL. That's who he's been his whole career. And we saw he could still do that at a high level last year. You're thinking, yeah, I want to, you know, contend and play for a championship, but I also don't want to play for free, and I also don't want to hurt my future earnings by taking less money because, Zach, I'll give you a little caveat. Once you take that lesser deal, teams put you in that honey hole for the rest of your career, and there's nothing you can do to get out of it. So you have to be smart about the money that you're taking. I think we already saw that with Dalvin Cook. He said, I'm in no rush to take a deal right now because you have to be smart. Like, you absolutely don't want to take a terrible deal and be stuck. And teams thinking like, well, this guy's comfortable taking this because this is what he took last year, right? So you got to be smart if you're DeAndre Hopkins. I know people kind of scoffed at me when I said the Houston Texans make sense. One, because they have cap room. And you talk about really solidifying your legacy with the Houston Texans. And that's just a bad division, Zach. So, like, think about it in a year or two with C.J. Stroud and some of the other weapons they have with Tank Dell. And then they have two really good run backs. They signed, you know, Singletary this offseason. They took my guy out of Florida. I don't know why I'm having a brain fart right now. The running back last year in the fourth round from Florida who played really well. Like, you have some nice subsequent pieces, and you have one of the best offensive lines in football. So you think in 2-3 years, man, you could be running the AFC South with C.J. Stroud And then, again, I talk about cementing your legacy. He's only like 10 touchdowns behind Andre Johnson as far as most receiving touchdowns in Houston Texans history, right? He can go ahead and sublet him and be the number one guy in that position. And he's only about 5,000 yards receiving from overtaking the number one spot in receiving yards for Houston Texans history. So I think the Houston Texans make a lot of sense. I think the Tennessee Titans make a lot of sense, too. They definitely need another veteran receiver. They're kind of thin at the receiver position right now. But if you go to the Tennessee Titans, there's already rumors that Tannehill and potentially Derrick Henry could be traded off. So do you feel comfortable going there? I think the New England Patriots makes absolutely no sense. Yes, the money talks, but I just think the relationship between him and Bill O'Brien just hit a sour patch, and I don't know how you get over that. I mean, obviously, Darius Slay and Matt Patricia said things have been cordial so far in Philadelphia, but I just don't think...
But Patricia's like an intern now there, pretty much. It's a little different than the offensive
When you're talking about the offensive coordinator who literally shipped you off for a bag of chips, like, I think it's a totally different scenario.
Last one, Lijay Douzeball. So I thought it was interesting that the Jets basically wined and dined Odell Beckham Jr., then have showed no interest in DeAndre Hopkins. That, to me, makes me think they knew this Dalvin Cook move was coming, and they rather have Cook over DeAndre Hopkins, even though it's a different position. I think Rodgers wants Dalvin Cook as well. Will Dalvin Cook be a New York Jet?
I believe he will be, ultimately. I know Robert Saleh already came out and said he's going to overturn that stone in regards to Dalvin Cook. And I literally was talking about this on CBS the other day. I said, watch the Jets. They could be a sneaky team. The Miami Dolphins made no sense to me because they literally resigned both of their running backs, Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. And those two combined for over 1,500 yards. And if you look at that Kyle Shanahan system with, you know, Mike, you know, McDaniel out in Miami is doing, Nathaniel Hackett, it's always kind of been running back by committee, even in Green Bay, right? You know, Dylan and Jones split the carries there as well. So I think the Miami, you know, everybody just assumed because, you know, Dalvin Cook's from Miami, he potentially could take a hometown discount to come back home. And they took Devon Achane high in the draft. I believe he was just they were one of his first two picks in the draft this past year because the Miami Dolphins didn't have a first-round pick. They took him in the third, I believe. So, and he fits that system perfectly. So they have three good running backs already on roster. I didn't see them paying Dalvin Cook $7, $8, $9 million to come there. But the Jets, right, Breece Hall's coming off a major knee injury, and he's actually looked good from all the clips that I've seen. You don't know how healthy a guy is until you put shoulder pads on, you get guys around your knees, and then you see them cut and accelerate full speed when there's other 10 other bodies on the field with them, right? That's when you know he's truly back. And then even if Breece Hall is healthy, right, you get Dalvin Cook for a one-year rental, you bring those two guys in, probably have one of the most explosive backfields in the NFL. So I think that makes a lot of sense, especially because the Jets are going for it all this year. I think they, you know, underlying signing that they had today was Adrian Amos. I thought it was a really good signing. I told my guy Pete Prisco, a few weeks ago, almost a month ago, that I think Adrian Amos to the Jets makes a lot of sense, right? A guy that's had ball production. He's a sure tackler. And the most important thing is, Zach, he's been available. I don't think he's missed a game the last 4 years. That's something the Jets sorely missed at the safety position last year. Too many different safety combinations because of injuries last year. I think he can really shore up that secondary. And now, days in the NFL, you'll see a lot of three safety looks on defense, right? So you got to be able to be multiple on defense. So I think that was an underlying signing. So Dalvin Cook to the Jets, man. Do not be surprised. I thought Denver would be a team that could potentially be on him, but it seems like Denver isn't going to be on him as much. But the Jets, I think, make a lot of sense for Dalvin Cook.
Lijay Douzeball does a great job. CBS Sports HQ, also SiriusXM. We appreciate the time as always.
Appreciate you, Zach.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So Lijay Douzeball just joined us. He does a great job for CBS Sports HQ. And Hickey, I've never thought about it this way. And let's explain what he just said. We're talking about the Stephon Diggs situation, and he did discuss how Lijay Douzeball feels like this is the last year, really, of the Bills' championship window. Because the point he was making was there's so much money allocated to a Josh Allen. There's so much money right now allocated to Stephon Diggs, where if he's not happy, and who knows how much of a serious issue this is with it being so ambiguous right now, they're still tied down to Stephon Diggs for the next 2 years or so. And you look at a guy like Von Miller, he's only getting older. And you know how important he is to the success of that team. And if you want to play into that argument, it's like a guy like Gabe Davis, it's his final year of his contract. he's probably going to get paid a nice chunk of change. Like Christian Kirk just got $18.5 million a year. Can you afford to re-sign him? I know a lot of times we go, salary cap's just a number with ways that you're able to move around the money and convert it into signing bonuses and things like that. There's always a way to move it around. But you do wonder, how much of a window do the Bills have? Like, I always think they'll have a shot with Josh Allen, and Josh Allen is still under 30, and what, he's 27 years old right now. But Josh Allen didn't play his best football last year. So you look at the Buffalo Bills, I don't necessarily agree that they're it's like their last year to go win a championship, but after finally last year being that team that everyone was picking and you failed and didn't even get back to an AFC, you know, you didn't even get to an AFC title game, and it's back-to-back years of getting eliminated in the divisional round. Let's be real, this year, they got lucky to even get to the divisional round. Skylar Thompson walked in, and that was a three-point game, who was the third-string quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. So the way that I'll say it is this, I don't think their championship window is over after this year, but you start to develop that team that we look at and you go, yeah, really good team. At times shows you that they could be an elite level team, but you're always waiting for the other shoe to fall.
I'm with you in this. Like, I get what Lijay is saying. And yeah, I kind of look at the Bills along with the Chiefs and the Bengals of the window is however long the quarterback is in their prime for. But with that said, I do think Lijay is right in the sense that this is their best, like their last best chance. And that makes sense going forward. I think they could still win with you. Like, I think they could still win a Super Bowl 2 or 3 years from now. But it's only going to get a lot harder because now, like I said, Josh Allen's going to eat more of the cap. Stephon Diggs is getting a big number. And it's really going to be hard to build your roster throughout and get a truly complete team. You see now in all four major sports, you need a team to win a championship. We focus on stars all the time. But you truly need a good defense, a good running game, a good passing game, obviously a great quarterback and a great head coach. But a lot of those other areas fall off when you give the quarterback the big money, and it's truly now you're going to start paying the piper sooner rather than later. The defense starting to age as well, which is a concern. So this is probably, I think I would agree with Lijay, their last best chance to win a Super Bowl, but I don't think their window closes after 2023, that's for sure.
And the other part here too is when you just look at salaries. You know, a guy like Tre'Davious White is still under contract for the next 2 years or so, you know, 3 years. So you got some guys under contract, but when you have that much money allocated to the quarterback and the wide receiver, and this is not just a Bills issue, this is moving forward. If you're a great quarterback in this league, you're going to get $50 million plus a year, and it's only going to keep it going up and up and up. And wide receivers, what we really see in the last 2-3 years, Hickey, their salaries have kind of not only replaced running back salaries, but have gone up significantly. You know, I talked about Christian Kirk earlier. Guy got $18.5 million a year. Christian Kirk had a good season also this year for Jacksonville. But if he's getting $18.5 million a year, okay, a great wide receiver is getting $25 million plus.
And that's part of the reason why I think a lot of eyes right now are on Cincinnati, not just with Joe Burrow, but in a year from now, Ja'Marr Chase probably, and even now with T. Higgins, it's what are they like? If that trio is truly serious about winning, look, it's easy for me to say it's not my money.
Yeah.
But you take less, you leave more for the team, you drastically increase your chances of winning versus if Joe Burrow gets all he wants or all that he can try to get, which is a ton. If Ja'Marr Chase did anything, he'll be a top flight, top paid wide receiver. And if T. Higgins wants the most money he can get, he's going to have to go somewhere else. And that's just, you know, an example right away where you kind of see that those three players do have a decision to make. And if they are in unison in terms of being for the team, Cincinnati's going to be a problem for a while. If not, we're going to slowly start to see that team break up.
Break up in terms of their big three, potentially. But
yes.
Once again, as long as you have Burrow there, you're going to have a shot.
Absolutely.
And you know Ja'Marr Chase is not going anywhere. Because they'll get the deal done with Burrow. They'll get the deal done with Ja'Marr Chase. Does that mean, and I know that you didn't have T. Higgins be a first-round pick. He was just outside of the first round, so he's not a fifth-year option, and he's in the final year of his contract. You could go down the road of potentially 2 years of franchise tag for T. Higgins.
And that just same thing with Buffalo now. High-paid quarterback, high-paid wide receiver, and the rest, you know, other areas falter. Suffer, maybe is a better word.
Right now, if you had to make a Super Bowl pick, who's your Super Bowl pick? Right now, today, I won't hold you to it, June 13th, who are the two teams that you would pick to go to the Super Bowl right now?
I will say Bengals. I'll go back on the 49ers train.
Yeah, well, you are, even without the uncertainty with the quarterback. I know Kittle was on Dan Patrick today, and he's like, oh, I expect Brock Purdy to be there for week one, rocking out with his Brock out and looking pretty awesome.
I will go Bengals, 49ers, Bengals, Super Bowl champs.
I hate when people pick a Super Bowl rematch. But how can I pick against Mahomes right now in the AFC when the guy just lost Tyreek Hill and won a Super Bowl? If not, I agree, I would go with Cincinnati. But in the NFC, until we understand not only who's going to be the guy, but who's going to excel for a full season at quarterback for the 49ers, I can't get away from what Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles did this past year. So even though that's like not really creative, it is sexy, but it's not as if you look at that and you go, oh, wow, you really went out on a limb. Right now, I can't pick against Kansas City. And in the NFC, the team that is the best from top to bottom, Philadelphia for me. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio, News Brief next.